ended in
1918, when the revolution broke out. And the whole of Germany, of course, collapsed. There was absolute chaos. And the trains were streaming into Germany from France. And my father just wanted to get out, you see. And so he didn't even ask for permission. We didn't buy any tickets. We went down to the railroad station with just the clothes that we wore. He had his violin with him.
1918,
November 1918. And my brother had his cello with him. You know, he used to play the cello.
Yeah.
And my father had his violin. I don't know what mother had. And I had nothing at all, just our clothes on our back. And we made our way, we snaked our way up North Germany. We went to Frankfurt first. I remember we spent the first night sleeping on the railway platform in Frankfurt, and I vividly remember as the trains came in, the soldiers, we were practically the only civilians, because no civilians would travel. There would be no point in traveling.
There were others like you?
No. I don't remember any civilians at all. All soldiers, and they just wanted to get home. And as the trains would come in, packed with soldiers, the soldiers who wanted to get into the trains wouldn't even wait, couldn't get into the doors. They would just smash the windows with their rifles and drag and just climb through the windows.
So
and
it was really kind of almost things were breaking down.
Oh, completely. I mean, the whole of Germany collapsed.
But the trains were running.
Yes, but they were only running because soldiers, any soldier that knew how to run a train, ex-engine drivers, would simply get hold of a troop train, fire the thing up, load it up with as many soldiers, and simply make off for home. They were not officially run trains.
The army had just dispersed.
Dispersed and integrated.
Was there an occupying army coming in?
No.
Not
as far as I remember. No. As far as I do remember, though, that as the war went to its close, German manpower had been depleted to such an extent that they put on what they called das letzte Aufgebot, which was a cynical way of saying the last offering. Because when the war started, the men were, say, 18 to 25, and then it became 17 to 30, and then 16 to 40, and eventually it was young boys and old men. And as the war broke out, these men and boys simply broke out of the garrisons and ran amok and went into all the government buildings and simply threw all the records out into the street. In other words, everything broke down completely. I remember vividly in the apartment next to us, a retired general was living. Now, a general in Germany was about as close to God as anybody could be, because they adored uniforms anyway, as you know, in the captain of Köpenick. And I remember these two soldiers, privates, with red ribbons round their little kepis, you know, the little caps, forage caps, going up to this German general who had his cloak on. He was in uniform with his sword. They always wore their swords that clattered behind them. And the soldier went up to him and demanded the general's sword, and the general refused, and he slapped him across the face a couple of times, grabbed his sword and broke it across his knees. This I always remember. Anyway, we eventually...
But you were the only civilians on this...
On this train, yes, we were the only civilians. Only soldiers.
Your father was released in this great breakdown. I mean, they just opened these...
He wasn't
camps.
Released, we just took off.
No, but I mean, your father had been in the camp.
No, he had been released, as I told you, and he was allowed to practice under supervision, provided he would...
Didn't say.
Yes, I mentioned that earlier. They let him out after 2.5 years because they were so short of professional men, you see.
So he was...
But when the revolution came, I think 3 days after the armistice was signed, when Germany collapsed completely, and we just took off. As far as I know, he didn't even ask anybody. He didn't get any papers or anything. Had no passports or anything.
A bit of cash.
Oh, he must have done. I'm sure he did.